Right, hello everyone. Another episode, and this time with.
Miho, nice to meet you all. I'm so excited to be here.
Right, so I always let my guests introduce themselves. So, how would you introduce yourself, and what do you do?
Yeah, so I'm Miho Potakovsky. It can be troublesome for some, but hopefully not.
Miho.
I'm a Miho, yeah, very
Yeah,
close.
a little
I'm
bit.
a senior VFX artist at FX Chamber, and I used to be kind of like a technical VFX artist because I come from tech art background and also programming. And I work on titles like Immortal Gates of Pyre, currently working also on Bytebond. And in the past, I also work on The Witcher Monster Slayer, which was like the mobile version of Witcher when I was back at Spoko at CD Projekt. And couple mobile titles. I actually worked on mobile titles, and my first games were VR. So that's basically like
Wow.
a very basic summary of what I did.
So even early on in your career, you had a lot of limitations. How did you deal with that? Because for a lot of like beginner VFX artists, I feel like it's difficult to understand the limitation, especially when every learning material out there is using VFX graph, which is probably something you shouldn't use in a mobile game. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's actually quite funny because my first company was the VR one, and it was still back in a time when there was no Oculus Quest. So I
Yes.
was working on like on the Vive, I was working
Yes.
on Oculus Rift, all of those.
Yeah.
And half a year into the company, we were working on some like gym VR, magic particles, whatever
Oh,
thing,
okay. Yeah.
and then the Oculus Quest came out, and we had a development kit for it so that we could use it and give it a try. And I had to throw away 80% of my VFX because we realized that, oh, okay, it's not running on PC, it's running on the mobile hardware, and
Wow.
it's actually creating a lot of stuff, a lot of problems. So it was quite fascinating beginning to my journey because I had to start with learning about optimization. And the first thing you think about optimization when you're like starting out is, oh, I have to reduce the amount of particles, or I don't know, like usually like very simple things that come to your mind. I didn't know about
Yeah.
overdraw, or
Yeah.
I didn't know about draw calls and stuff like this.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of my learning path was just doing my research and trying to learn how I can optimize my effects. And
Yeah.
probably the biggest problem was the overdraw at that time, and I had no idea how to deal with it. So I was just cutting other things to go around it.
Yeah.
But yeah, later when I was working on mobile titles, I learned more in depth about those
What
topics.
would you say you've learned that you wish you learned on your VR experience? I mean, on your experience with VR, not VR experience.
VR is actually quite brutal in terms of
Yes.
optimization. So actually one thing I learned many years later that I didn't learn on VR is that I was optimizing too much. So
Oh.
So the thing is that like optimization is very important.
Yeah.
But one thing I had a problem when I started working in PC games was that I was putting so much pressure on myself to optimize every little fragment of my shaders that I was spending more time on it, and I was also not making my effects look good enough. So
Oh, yeah.
one thing I learned is that first try to make your effect look good, and then the knowing what's your limitations. So for VRs, it was GPU typically, so overdraw, all of
Yeah.
that stuff. For PC games, it can be the other way, so CPU, because you have like RTS where you have so many units and they have so many
Yeah.
effects spawning and stuff like
Yeah.
this. So first make sure your effect looks good, and then look what's your bandwidth, where is like the problem you have to solve. If it's CPU, okay, try to limit your like how many effects or emitters are spawning, or anything that limits it. if it's GPU, try to work on your overdraw. And then this is like the final step after making it look good. Make sure that, yeah, it's just clean for everyone else to understand. So I think this is the lesson that I learned a bit later in my path, that I was taken from the VR, that like optimization is important, but you rarely have to work on Quest.
And on
other platforms, even on mobiles, you don't, like, you have to be limited, but not as much.
But you know this, when soccer player, like football player, play with like a smaller ball and smaller goals to get better in the game, I feel like you got really early on like this experience of like, I need to optimize my effects, and you got into the technicality of it, which I think a lot of people don't plan to do until there's an optimization problem, right? And I don't think you picked up a bad habit. I mean a little bit, because like your effects were suffering, like the quality, but I feel like if you're already knowing, like if you're already having that in mind, what does not work optimization wise and what does work, it was not a bad or a horrible thing that happened, right?
That is true. Yeah, like probably one thing that is good about it is that when I'm thinking, like I'm still planning the effect I will be doing, I'm already thinking about the systems. Oh, okay, so it will be spawning so many times, like it's a very usual effect in the game. I have to make sure I'm not overdoing it from the base. Or if it's like an immortal effect, like effect that will be played once every 5 minutes and it has to look cool, then I know I can put a lot more into it. Probably knowledge of something like that, like being able to kind of estimate your work and like how it's gonna be used, what is what you should use, what you shouldn't use, is probably a good thing. I agree with that.
Dana, it's I think like optimization is something no one teaches you or sells content for you to learn from. And that's a conversation I've had with MadVFX founder Mustafa yesterday, actually, where we talked a little bit about optimization and how that's something you kind of learn on the job, but you kind of should not just learn on the job. I don't see a lot of VFX, like real-time VFX courses out there that makes a project in real time for mobile and then makes the same project, expands on it on PC, and just kind of shows the differences. Or say it starts with PC, it shows you how cool it works and it looks, and then it takes the same effect and now makes it scales it down to mobile and then even lower to VR to showcase, like, hey, you know, you can play with those tools, but if you're hired for a mobile project, which could be the case right now, there's a huge demand for VFX artists. I feel like we are lacking that content of security, like even as an industry, like as a real-time VFX artist, we need like to collaborate a little more and not just leave it on Discord conversations. We need to have it on a blog somewhere, even engines have documentations. Why don't we have the manual for real-time VFX?
Yeah, that's actually a big problem we have. So I kind of know, like, the reason is that it's a very complicated topic. So on every project, you have totally different way of optimizing because you have different problems, you have different tools, different even team. So like even team composition kind of influences the optimization, because if you have very good 3D team that really puts their effort into optimizing things, well, then you have more space in your department to actually, like you have more memory you can use and stuff like this. So it's a very complicated topic. But yeah, we should definitely teach people on even basics, like how things work. Oh, there's CPU, there is a GPU. Yeah. CPU works really well with, like, complex tasks, but is not good at handling too many of them.
I think the best way I got described what's the difference between a CPU and a GPU is that a CPU, imagine it like a sewage pipe. A CPU is like, depending on the cores, if it has 8 cores, it's one huge sewage pipe, right? It can handle a lot of water at once. but it can only be busy once. So if you're sending small calculations through that pipe, the whole pipe in its entirety is being used just to transfer this small calculation. What a GPU does, because it has a lot of cores, it's like small pipes that can handle a lot of small calculations. I don't know if that's a correct way to look at it, but I think, like, throughout my experience, it made a lot of sense. What would you say?
That's quite correct. Apart from the fact that CPU also has threads, so it has couple of like different threads you can do things on, but it's still like very limited in the amount.
Yeah,
and it's more about the complexity of what it can solve. Mm. So, like teaching things like this, so that to even give a preview to someone on how they should look at certain limitations, and then obviously like project specific ones, you will learn those in the project. But yeah, we really need something for the like decent overview of things,
because it's such an important part of the job. Like, to our job is not only creation. Let's just be clear. Like, we can create effects, sure. Are they usable? If no, then we didn't do anything, if you think about it, right? Also, if we create effects and we don't implement them, like, what did we do? Why is there no tutorials about implementation and optimization? Why is it only creation and flashy things? Like, I talked with Mustafa about this. So it only has to look good, and it's like, nice and everything, but like, let me know the technicality, like you were saying.
Yeah, I also think that the problem with lack of tutorials on this field is that it's probably imposter syndrome of people,
yeah,
that like no one feels like they are good enough in those fields to talk about them, and they also know that if they will say something, there will be hundreds of different people that will say, no, you shouldn't do it like this, because in our project we do it differently, or stuff like that. So it's just a very big problem. But like, that's something we also want to do with MedVFX, that we kind of want to, we are planning the optimization things.
And courses,
I would love, or like resources.
Like, I would love a resource like that, honestly. Just like a guidebook, even if it's just written, it doesn't have to be a flashy video. Just like, give me the basics of optimization and the difference between a VR project, a mobile project, because this will help so many people who are starting that can already create amazing looking effects, but maybe are lacking into the optimization part. But they could always like expand on that. And if there's another course that is just about implementation, say there's a instructor that shows you how to implement the same effect in three different type of games, RTS, for example, which RTS are huge on this, right? Tower defense are huge on effects. You need to make the feeling work. And not only environmental effect, which are also important, but also how do you get, even if you're a junior, how do you get to implement what is expected of me? Give me a production experience. Give me like my relationship. How is my relationship should be with like a technical director? How is my relationship supposed to be with a software engineer, right? What am I supposed to ask of them? Like, this is all things you learn in the job and amazing, but sometimes it feels like it's too late and the imposter syndrome kicks in and you're like, oh no. But you know, people are nice, they help out, but I think like it's our responsibility as real-time VFX artists to pave the road for newcomers not to face those situations, you know?
My story is a bit... Oh, actually, it's not weird. It's quite typical. But for all the studios, apart from my current one, I was the only VFX artist.
Mm.
So it makes it also that I didn't have an lead to talk to or any other VFX artist to communicate with.
Yes.
So I was kind of in need to, like, I was forced to talk with my tech artist, to talk with my like other people in the company and learn about other stuff.
Mm.
If you're in a bigger company, you usually will have someone who is more experienced or someone you can talk to about VFX directly. And it makes it a bit easier because you can just share experience. But overall, VFX is kind of like a tech art in a way that you are you're basically between every department. You're at the end of the pipeline.
Yep.
You will work on like almost every asset in the game in some way. So it makes it that you need to know a bit about 2D. You need to know a bit about 3D, about tech art. Yeah, about coding and all of that. But you don't need to know it in a way that, oh, you have to be fluent in all of those.
Exactly.
It's more about being communicative, like knowing to write to other people in the company, knowing what questions to ask and
when
stuff like
ask.
That. So, yeah. And when to ask also. So one of the tips I have is that what I really like to do as a VFX artist in new companies I join is I like to reach out to people a lot. As I'm very passionate about game dev overall, it makes it a bit easier. Because, for instance, I see there's a 2D artist. I had a friend at Spoko that was a great 2D artist. He was making like illustrations for cutscenes for The Witcher. Mm. And I was like, oh, wow, he makes such a cool stuff. So I wrote to him on Slack saying that your work is awesome. And can you like show me more of what you're doing? And he was like so happy because like most of us are just introverts or like like almost every artist is having imposter syndrome. So when you write to someone that you really like their job and what they are doing, they will be like, oh, wow, I'm so happy.
Yes.
So it strengthens your connection in the team and also lets you just learn about other person's work. Like what the 2D artist is doing, what this 3D artist is doing. And then when I'm actually having a certain problem, I just reach out to this person and they are like, yeah, sure, we will help you out. Or just I will tell you how to do it or what I do on it or what I need. And so like networking in the company itself is also very important, whether you are a VFX artist or tech artist. So make a good use of that. And also, I totally forgot what was
no,
the
no worries.
Question.
I think I describe it very well. When I say we are performative artists that do performative art, but we don't perform. So we often lack the feeling of being seen, because most of the times we do the effects, we do the amazing work, it goes to a company, to a game, is not being presented next to your name or next to your identity, unless you have worked on a whole game and you're the solo dev of that game, then people will start seeing you and noticing you, which is very sad. Because what we are is we are a bit of magicians, if you think about it. We belong on the stage theoretically, but when we don't have that live performance, we lack the scene part. For me, honestly, that's why I do the podcast. I want to highlight what we do. I want to be seen. I want to go on conferences and share with my colleagues how I do my work, because I'm sure the way I do it is quite novel to the purpose of what I'm doing, right? But I don't see a lot of real-time VFX conferences out there, although the need for it is quite high.
Yeah, it's actually quite weird how no one knows about VFX.
Yeah.
Or tech art. Or like tech art is probably more known, but still, like when I was starting out, even when I was a VFX artist in my first company, I had no idea you can work as a VFX artist, because I got there as a programmer and they needed someone to make VFX. I was like, hey, I can do those. And I started helping out with those. So I was working as a VFX artist full time. But I only learned there's a position like this 2 years later when I was a tech artist. And it's quite weird how hard it is to learn that you can even do this. Now it's a bit easier because there are resources. Jason Kaiser from like VFX Apprentice did a lot of job to make sure that it's visible. But it's still like, oh, when someone thinks about game development, someone from outside of game dev, they will think, okay, there are like programmers and there are like artists, like probably 2D or 3D artists. and QA because they want to work as a QA, and kind of that's it, maybe animators. And well, no one really thinks about all those different roles, like not only VFX and tech art, but also UI artists, the lightning artists, like any like tool related, engine programmers, whatever, like all those roles that are much more specific, and just no one really pays attention to those. And they are a huge part of the game. Like all of us make a big impact on how the game will develop. It's a collaboration of like entire team because of how complex games are. And would be really nice to be like for people to realize how hard it is to actually make a game and how hard it is to communicate between so many people to make a game.
I feel like if more people actually know what happens behind the scene while making a game, they would appreciate a game much more. And you would see less and less streamers just like streaming the Summer Game Fest and just like pooping on all the games that are showing where like they haven't really played it yet. And this all affects the livelihood of everybody involved. Just by one influencer with like a million of followers saying, yeah, I don't like the style. And then basically influencing everybody who's watching the content not to try or look or whatever it is to try the game or, you know. And that's sad to see, honestly. But yeah, like you said, we don't really know what a VFX is. Like when I talk to people in my, in my life, I say I'm a VFX artist. They say, VF what? Like, oh, yeah, true. Visual effects artist. and I don't want to go into details.
I like to say I'm making explosions, magic,
I'm the guy who does this. That's what they want to hear. And it's hard. That's why it's hard for people to know what they want to do in a game. Like for me, I was always like interested in tech art. But if you don't code, it's gonna be a difficult road to go through, right? The only alternative, in my opinion, for me was, okay, then I am a good artist, so I'm just gonna go to the thing that favors art, which is VFX, right? Because in VFX, you can utilize your art with a bit of tech knowledge, graph editor, you know, you don't really need to code. But the problem is when you're so dependent on those tools, such as like the graph editor, the shader graph, it's gonna be a pain to work on a mobile game, which is sad because we don't have really an entry of like courses out there that shows us how to do the same concepts we do in the graph using HLSL or other languages. What do you think about this whole thing?
Well, as always, it's just the problem that there are not resources on anything almost. Like, people, even when you think about like core effects, like environment effects or whatever, there's almost nothing. Like now you can find the courses about like Asian VFX that are like ultimates, whatever, weird, very cool effects. But I've been looking into those and they are... A lot of those courses or effects are not even game ready. They are like to make your portfolio look better.
Yes.
And it's kind of scary that there are rarely any resources that you can learn that make it so that you can actually work in a studio and use those in like all scenarios. And in terms of like shaders and stuff, like there are some resources, but there are not that well known. Like for Unreal, it's Farla FX. Who's making amazing courses that are very cheap. It's obviously Matt VFX. Like we try to make those, but still a lot of work to do.
It's still a lot of work. Like it's still the beginning stages, but the concept is very promising, honestly.
For Unity, there are like...
nothing.
Like for HLSL, there's cut-like coding, which is very old, but it was one of the best shader, like HLSL resources I found. And for shader graph, there's Ben. I forgot his.
It's. I think the point is like it's so scattered, and if you're if you're not a person like yourself who knows mostly all of these resources, it's hard to just Google it and find exactly what you need, because most of the times you don't even know what you need. Because when you're looking up, let's say you got a job offer and it's telling you, oh, you have to do all the shaders on your own and you can't use Shadergraph, you'll probably Google just that, you know, and but you'll probably not even go to, like, you're not just going to guess HLSL unless you know it. Like, you're not going to go to Google and just ask it that, which is it's difficult to cope with.
Yeah, there's another problem, which is VFX artists use a bit different shaders than tech artists or other artists. What we need is like, oh, we actually don't need too much, but we need to understand what we really need. So we need a texture. We need to change its UV, so like tile it, give it some velocity, whatever. We can add distortion. We need to manipulate colors, either with just like solid colors, blending different colors together with like LERPs or whatever, or having the LUT system and stuff like that. So we don't need too much, but there are almost no tutorials, or especially in Unity, about how to build a proper like Uber shader you can use for VFX.
Yeah,
and it's problematic.
And the problem is, it's all categorized in names, man. Like, a channel like Gabriel Aguirre. I'm not gonna criticize it because what he does is amazing. You look into, let's say, trial effect. Like, you just want to make a bullet, right? You look into that. You're looking into categorization again. The problem with that is you will probably just learn this if you do not have the capacity of if you don't have the experience, first of all, or the capacity to break things down, and you copy everything he does in the tutorial, you will probably not learn much, and you will feel easily overwhelmed when asked to do an effect from your art director that kind of probably worked 50% the same way you did the other effect. You just can't see it yet because you've been copying the tutorial and you have not dived deep into like the engine documentation or research about like what does a LERP mean. You just used it because it got used in the tutorial. And I agree with you, because as a VFX artist, almost always all what you need is tiling of the texture, some distortion on the noise. But when I say that, I understand it. If someone is listening to this and they don't know what I'm talking about, they get overwhelmed, right? And they don't know how to look it up once they got the job. Or if they have learned from a corrupt source, for example, like a source who's just showing cool stuff and not actually teaching you any proper knowledge on how you could take those technical vocabularies and expand on them in research, also teaching what they do as well.
Yeah, it's something I kind of I had to go through a lot. So like when I was starting out, there were just I started with VFX around 8 years ago, I think. I was a generalist at the time, so I was doing more of the programming, etc. But I was like doing some VFX for like games I was creating and stuff. And there was nothing. There was like almost no tutorials from apart from like Brachis making like something basic. Brachis, I think, though. Ben Golus writing on the forums about how to solve a certain technical problem.
Yeah.
And it was just like very lonely also. Yep. Right now it's not as lonely because there are many more people that are interested in the field. Yep. And there are like forums like or discourse like real-time VFX that are just wonderful.
Yep.
With so many helpful people.
Yeah.
But at the time, especially when there was nothing, it was so hard to learn. And
but that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's what I was to say. That is a good thing. Like, it took me longer to learn what I know now, but I have a full understanding of what I learned. And also, I had to come up with my own effects. I don't think I copied like almost any effect. in my life. There are probably like some small ones, but I always try to make it my own, like changing the values, trying to just make it mine in some way. And so because of that, I learned both the creativity of the job, which is very important. Like VFX is not only about making something pretty. Actually, the most important part of our job is to tell the gameplay.
Communicate
the gameplay, right? And so we need to be creative. We need to be able to trouble solve and be able to understand how to, what's the problem and what techniques we can use to solve it. So being a self-learner was actually a blessing in the long term. And I'm very happy for that. And something I really like to tell like people that are starting out is that like try to give like try to be passionate about what you do. Like don't just fully copy something and do it like this. Like don't go the easy way. Just try to learn by yourself, read by yourself to make your effect better. So you made an effect with a tutorial, but it's like clipping with the ground, then you can still like read in the internet, how I can make it not clip with the ground, like add that depth fade, or there is like some problem with my colors are very just like the tutorial had only colors that are like solid in some way, like there's no gradient or whatever.
So
learn about, like, read about it.
The thing about this is, from your experienced approach, of course, makes sense to say clip through the ground. When I'm looking this up and I'm a beginner looking at a tutorial, I'm looking it up, saying it's going through the ground. Especially if English is not your first language, like you're saying, you're typing things out on Google, like your lack of research skills is hindering you finding the results. Because like if I'm looking it up, not saying the right words, like clipping through depth field or whatever, I'm not getting the answer, and it might take me 3 to 4 hours to get the answer. I feel it's like a chicken or the egg problem here. Like, if I have started VFX, let's say 10 years ago, I would have had no choice but to learn the way you learn. It would have been the common sense. However, because I started learning about, let's say, 2 or 3, and I'm giving an example here, 2-3 years ago, I'm looking through resources that will teach me, or marketing themselves that they will teach me everything from A to Z. When I'm getting that information, it's not only false marketing. If it's not doing so, it should be, you should be held accountable for to your marketing, I feel. Because like if you're saying you're gonna teach me everything, then I'm expecting to know all those vocabulary by the end of the course. If I'm not, then even if you're not held accountable because of that, at least we as real-time visual effects artists have the obligation to make it easier for newcomers to understand what research is. Because right now the common sense is not research. The common sense, I go, I buy a course, takes me from A to Z. That's it. Sadly, it is the case, because for the newcomers, they've never had to go through the way you went through it, which is the old common sense of like using Google, researching, going on forums, finding your niche of people. Right now, it's only like things behind logos, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's also true. There are two topics I want to go for. So first, I'll do it later. So the schools and like how things are marketing the VFX and all of that, and game dev overall. But the first one is the research. It's actually one thing people don't realize, a lot of like beginners, is that you also have to learn what to type into Google to find an answer. Yep. Like it took me years to know that things I type in won't give me a good result. Nope. Like, I'm kind of scared with the ChatGPT and all, like how a lot of people now I forget the word. Like, they try to use it so much that they stop putting enough effort into thinking and like trying to find answer themselves. Because I had so many wrong searches in the Google that they gave me nothing. I had to search hours for certain things, or I didn't know where to search, so I didn't know to go to real-time VFX Discord, look into search bar, and then or not Discord, the forum, Discord actually too, and just write a certain phase I need, and then usually I have an answer. And that's also something you have to learn. You have a problem, you try to describe it with your own words. Maybe you go through like 10 different sites that are there, like forums or whatever, and from some of those forums will have a hint towards the next thing you can put into the search. So you basically have to go your way to find the answer, and that's something that's not easy, but with time you will learn it better, and it's a skill that's useful everywhere later. So definitely, like just following the courses won't get you there usually. It will get you a job, but it won't make you a good VFX artist that will be adjustable to any environment.
It won't make you a good problem solver is what it's not going to make you, because you will face problems. You will have problems with like creating your own thing. I just wanted to go back to the point of ChatGPT. I think the main problem with ChatGPT is it's going to answer. That's what a lot of people that don't realize. It will answer. It will answer no matter what. Is it a hallucination? Or is it a true answer? And most of the times when you ask it about like super niche specific question, hey, how can I make this effect in Unity VFX graph, but I wanted to do this and that, it will tell you, oh, use this node, totally, and this other node, and you go and you try to look for the node, it doesn't exist. Then you're like, okay, this was nothing. So instead of going and wasting your time ChatGPTing something so niche and specific, go ask a real person. That's like my perspective. Go on the Discord, ask like in the group chat, hey, how to do that, and you will probably have an answer by tomorrow. It wouldn't be as instant, but it will be that much accurate.
Yeah, the thing is now, like I noticed with Google, there's this like when you're using search, it first gives you the AI answer.
Yep.
And it's usually like it can be hit or miss. It can be like it's like 50%. It's correct and 50% not, but I know it's not because I already have that experience. But when you're a beginner, you
don't
can't tell if it's telling the truth or not. And it's saying it very professionally, so it sounds like it's true.
Yes,
so
that's a huge
it's a
problem.
Bit risky.
That's a huge problem. It will lower our bar of skepticism. It feels almost that we need to evacuate the digital world because it's just consumed with this fake information, with this made up stuff, with the bad quality art generated, with the bad quality, like everybody, all the illustrators I know have ditched Instagram, have ditched all the digital world. They're all meeting up in real life, doing live drawings. They're all have had it with the digital world. And I feel like soon we'll see the fall of the digital. I think we peaked. We peaked in the digital world, and followers and influencers soon will have no meaning. That's because of how much content there is from both organic like resources and non-organic resources. And now even the organic resources are shifting into non-organic. So even on LinkedIn, when you're talking with hiring manager, you can see the dashes. You could see that they just ChatGPT'd your question. They ChatGPT'd whatever you were telling them. So it's just feeling inauthentic. You'll see more people going maybe to companies and actually showing up to apply for a job from now on, I feel. Because at least they will get a human interaction.
It's very scary how it works right now. But at the same time, we have the, like you mentioned, that ask a real person. We have the real-time VFX, which is like most wonderful Discord. I found it after like 4 years of doing VFX by myself.
And
then from one day, it was like, now I have everyone I can get answer from. Yeah, they are so helpful. They're so wonderful. There are people that have like 25, 30 years of experience, and they chat with you and just give you answers. And like it's beneficial two ways. So first of all, you will get a really pro answer for free. And second of all, you're showing VFX artists in the Discord that like VFX artists around the world, because they are from different companies that can hire you, that you're eager to learn, that you're interested in stuff. And if you're kind to them, if you're just appreciative of their help, they will remember that. Like I remember people that were asking me about stuff, and they were kind to me. They said thank you for when I gave them answer. And I remember those people that were like, oh, write me how to do this. And I write them answer, and they're like, no, I need it. Like I need like the full graph or whatever. I'm like, awesome. There are people like this. I'm like, it's just sad because they are taking their chances by just not being appreciative of what, like, how much time it actually takes to give feedback or to help others. And that's something I really, really appreciate everyone in real time, because they are just wonderful. And I'm always just mind-blown, like, how much time they are putting into it.
Yeah, like everybody I've seen want to share their work. Like I feel when I'm around real-time VFX, like it's one of the reasons why I'm having so many real-time VFX on this podcast, is because we are all so hungry to be seen. Like, we do cool stuff. Look at it. Look at our cool stuff. Mm-hmm. We never get to do that. We never get to be like standing in front of our own peers and like presenting. I think I will be the very first to organize a whole like event just for real-time VFX artists in Europe. I'm actually working on it, so I hope everybody will stay tuned. I like, there's just so much to be earned. There's all to be earned to just like have like 2 days of an event where everybody is sharing their work. Doesn't matter, junior, mid-level, senior, there is no such thing in our field. If you think about it, there is no such thing as senior or as like mid-level or as junior. Even juniors create new things that probably senior never thought about it. We don't have
I have a funny story to it.
Yeah, tell me please, tell the people.
Yeah, on it was on real-time VFX, there is a Unity FX channel or whatever, where just people ask about Unity. There are not too many people there. And usually responded, there's me, there's Robin, there's another Robin. So people that usually have like 10 years of experience in Unity.
Yeah.
And there was one junior that was asking question about custom data. So like a thing that you, how to connect basically shaders to your Shuriken particle system.
Yeah.
And he was asking a question about something, we were responding, and then I think Robin noticed that, oh, he has renamed the field for the custom data, and it's like very useful thing we were looking for years. And this junior person found it, and we were asking how he did it, and he says, oh, I just like right clicked on the field and changed the name. And we were like, what? We were looking for it for years, and that junior just found the issue. So
Listen,
it was like great example for me, like how much you can learn from
everybody,
no matter their experience.
Yeah,
they will have their own approach to things.
Yeah.
And juniors also have this thing that they are, like as a senior, usually you're kind of limited in a way that you already start planning the optimization. You already start planning how like entire system should look like. junior doesn't have that usually. So they can come up with ideas that maybe they you didn't even think about because you instantly scratch it away because you were like, oh, it's probably not worth even thinking about because, well, it might be unoptimized. And then you actually think about their ideas. You're like, oh, that actually could work if we do it differently. So like having that limited point of view that is like more experience and all of that can also make it so that we are less we can spend less time on experimenting with things while juniors can just give us ideas that we even didn't think about.
Yeah.
So,
and the reason behind of this, I think, is because real-time visual effects is such a broad skill. You know, you have people from all type of different backgrounds. Some even come from publishing. I've had a guest here who just came from publishing. So you would have different ways to problem solve. You have people who use probably all their sides of the brain, you know, and when you put them all together, even the more emphasis to have an event, like you have people who have been artists their whole life or concept artists their whole life or some that come from game design or others who just like more into code and that just came in. So you're kind of learning not just this one principle, but also ways to problem solve in different ways. It's like people who speak different languages now all of a sudden decided to talk one language. So you have addition from all these different languages that make sense instead of like having a whole sentence to describe something. There's a word in it in Arabic. There's a word in it in English. You know, it's really, it's interesting to see the different ways of problem solving. I mean, that's why I don't feel like we have juniors really. Like on paper, I would be considered a junior. I don't see myself as a junior. Like, I'm working as the solo lead VFX artist on a project. That's my first project. I'm doing effects that I don't see online. You know, all of those things that I think I could share with everybody. I feel like putting titles on it, such as senior, junior, mid, helps with industry understanding. But with our field, it's difficult, to say the least.
Yeah, there's also a thing that it's not like the title is not about your experience. It's like VFX art is still a job, so you kind of have to deliver, and you have to remember that the titles kind of explain how independent you are. So junior is probably someone who needs a lot of help, a lot of assistance from some other people to make their jobs.
Yeah.
If you're quite independent, so I always had to be solo dev. I literally had to figure out things myself. So I was kind of mid from the very beginning, but because I didn't have that assistance from others.
Yeah.
And I had to deliver my job. If you're someone who makes a wonderful effect, like some of like senior level art that is just very beautiful, but for an effect you have like a week deadline, you spend 2 months, then you probably also aren't like a senior level because you're not doing your job to deliver things in time and understanding the limitations of the development. So there are like, I wouldn't really consider experience based on
visual
things or your skills, maybe apart from timing, because like timing is one of those things that is very hard to learn. You need years to master it. So actually when you have a good timing, you can higher up your chances quite a lot. But overall, you have to think about VFX art as a position where you are kind of like a producer in a way. You have to make sure you're
Yeah, I am like that. My producer is very happy with me because I do their job for them a little bit because like I have everything organized in the Trello and with screenshots. And you have to also manage your own, like no one is going to tell you, hey, you know, if you don't ask the art director about the vision, it's maybe going to take you a whole month to figure out of back and forth messaging. Why don't you just meet up with the art director for like 30 minutes max and you just let them sketch you something. Because this will speed up everything.
I write, I have a concept that I need to make. I just write to our director, concept artist, hey, do you like, what's your vision for it? Or like, how do you think if I can change this to make it look like this because it will be easier VFX wise or stuff like this? Or, oh, I have a cool idea, but I need a bit more complex 3D model than there are my skills. So I write to 3D artists asking, or like a producer, to ask if it would be possible to have someone make quickly a model for me, because I will make it in 3 days and that person will make it better in 3 hours.
Absolutely.
So things like this are very important. And being able to not only work on your skills, but also your attitude, how you communicate, how you organize your work, how you think about entire project, game design. Game design is such an important thing to learn as a VFX artist. Yep. You need to know how your effects are influencing the gameplay, how to communicate stuff. You need to be able to understand how the games work so that you can even like from the programming side, like knowing how things will be implemented. So, okay, I need to do this effect in the animation, and animation has its limitations. Oh, I need to do it like it will be in blueprints and it will be playing either locally or non-locally, like what access I have to certain parameters and stuff like this. Like you kind of need to understand a bit of everything, and that kind of makes it how experienced you are, or like how good you are when you're just understanding those things and you can take responsibility for them and make sure you just deliver what you have to do.
Yeah, I mean, delivering is, man, so many topics to hit. To go make a deep dive on. We are sadly reaching time though to end this. So I want to ask you if there's anything you would like to add at the end, like or promote, whatever it is. That's your chance.
Okay. I kind of want to just say thank you to everyone in Real Time VFX for, like, every VFX artist I know for being just awesome and helpful. And that I kind of wish that we will keep this field as pure and healthy as it is right now. That, like, even with like new people coming in, I would love that we kind of keep this culture of helping each other out and not treating each other as a competition. So I just really wish for that to happen. And I hope whoever will watch it, just please be kind to others.
We have to be kind, man.
Help each other out.
I think we understand that better than anyone else, because what we do is, like I said before, it's supposed to be performative. It's supposed to be shown on a stage, right? That's at least how I feel. And because we have this feeling of like, please, like someone ask me about what I do, you know? But in addition to that, we also have the feeling of, hey, I've been there, I needed help, so I'll just help this person, you know?
Yeah.
And we kind of all have this camaraderie feeling going through it. No matter which level you're in, you're never mastering this. Let's just be honest. It's not a character art, 3D art, where like there's a level where you're like really, really, really good, right? But in our situation, is like maybe there's like really, really, really good 2D animator who can do amazing simple particles, but they kind of want to expand on particles at one day, or learn a bit more programming, or learn more about shaders. There's that other person who has been expanding on that for years, and we kind of just like keep learning. So I think it's protected in its sense of being corrupted, like you mentioned. And I really hope it never goes that far. I do feel very committed to it.
Yeah. I also hope, like, it's a very hard field to get. It's very overwhelming. So something I really needed when I was starting out was just talk with someone about it and like share things with people that know VFX. So like, I'm always open to that if like there are people starting out or they don't even start out yet but have questions. I'm leaving my Twitter open all the time so they can write, even getting thousands of those different bots that write to you. I just wish for a message from someone who's eager to learn something. So yeah,
where can always people reach out find to you people. By the way, maybe we'll let them know.
So I'm Manus on either Manus or Manus VFX on all my socials, like Twitter. What do I use?
I'll Discord. Leave the links in the description, definitely.
Yeah. I will send them to you. And just reach out. And also thank you to you, because you're doing a wonderful job with those podcasts. And I'm very happy from everyone who's just trying to make this world better.
Yeah, I think we need to advocate in this day and age about like being a generalist, you know. Put your eggs in different baskets. I feel like capitalism encourages us to be specialized and be specialized very early on. But the problem with being specialized is that you're replaceable. So you're constantly feeling your job security is running away from you. And that is good for capitalism. However, if you put your eggs in different baskets, if one basket is destroyed, you know that you could take the other basket. And with visual effects, it's really like you're delivering a whole truck of baskets with eggs. This is how it feels, because you're using all those different skills in one shipment to deliver real-time VFX. And it is that much gated. Like our jobs are a bit secured, thankfully, because we need to do a lot of things to get to where we are. It's all... Every story I've heard from a real-time VFX artist so far is, I never knew what I really wanted until I figured out real-time VFX. And that's the story we all can relate to, I guess.
Yeah, it is like this. I mean, I knew I wanted to make games, but how I got into VFX art is like complete coincidence of me just being passionate, of just wanting to learn more, and then leading it to tech art. And then from tech art, it was, oh, from all the things I've been doing so far, I like the VFX the most, so I'll do this.
Yeah, it's so flashy, and you cannot ignore it. It's so rewarding.
It is just wonderful, and you so quickly can get such a beautiful effect.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's amazing. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say something I totally forgot I wanted to say.
Oh, no worries. So is the ADHD, I guess.
It is.
I think it's just like every real-time VFX artist I've met so far had ADHD. It's so funny.
It probably helps with this field.
Yes, to be distracted. Yeah. All right, man. Listen, it's been great having you. It's been 58 minutes, but we'll still chat. I'll just going to shift a little bit to the viewers and say, thank you so much for watching thus far. If you like it, leave a like and let me know what you think about the episode in the comments below. Just share your thoughts. No one is going to judge you, even if it's 3 pages long. Just post it. It helps with the algorithm. And, you know, subscribe for more. I'll definitely be doing more of those with real-time VFX artists and other artists, because in the end, it's the generalists. So I might have different people on. All right, everybody, take care, and I'll see you later. Salam.
Bye. Bye.